Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trip Tower. Here till 5 a.m. Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for 2 for Tuesday. That music is from the TV series on Starz called Ash vs. Evil Dead. And season 2 was just released on DVD. And if you have not seen it, you should, because it's great. And one of the stars of Ash vs. Evil Dead, who has become a great friend to this show, I love her, and she's been on the show a couple of times. We met her in person just about a year ago, a little over a year ago. She came in studio, and we had one of my favorite interviews that I've ever done. And it's always a pleasure to welcome her back. And any reason to have Dana on the show is a good reason. Dana DiLorenzo is awesome, and let's welcome her to the show. Hey, Dana.
Nick D, 2 for Tuesday, Nick D. 2 for Tuesday. How are you, my love?
I'm great.
It's season 2, 2 for Tuesday.
See how that works?
And it's our 1 year anniversary. So what do you get for a 1 year anniversary? Is it paper?
It's paper.
Or aluminum?
I think it's paper, right? 1 year?
I actually just pulled that out of, I can't say that on the radio. I just pulled that out of nowhere.
The paper thing?
Yeah, the paper thing, was that actually true?
I think it is true, yeah.
Dan knows.
It's true.
Dan has sent you an anniversary gift every year.
That's right.
I asked him when I just talked to him for a second, you know, because he has to make sure that when I call that, like he's screening your calls for you.
Right.
Like, I'm a crazy ex-girlfriend already. We haven't even, you know, fornicated in our relationship, but I'm already the crazy ex-girlfriend that he has to screen the call for you. And so I asked him, if you guys, you know, had your promise rings yet, because, I mean, I was his wingman for your birthday, and I just
right.
know, did you get your birthday kiss?
Well,
that was your part of your gift, was him giving you a birthday kiss from me for him.
I think we better leave that off. I'll tell you off the air about that.
Oh, well, that always makes for great radio.
Yeah, that's so
good. Well, then I'll just save my kisses for you and me then.
Yeah, when are you coming back to when are you coming back to town, Dana?
Well, when are you having me over? Am I going to stay with you?
Of course.
You know, I don't have my house there anymore.
No, of course.
My apartment on Bissell, where my bathroom was in my closet. That was my house. Legitimately, I was just thinking about that place. I miss it. I want to come see you. I'm going to try and get out there very soon.
Okay.
Because you know, I like that. This was also like my favorite interview. I've told you that. We're just like peanut butter and jelly, baby.
I agree. So listen, I know you've been busy. You just filmed season 3. How'd that work out?
I mean, how'd that work out? You know, it worked out in a way where there was lots of splatter matter that we got covered in, and our sick, twisted minds of our genius creative team. Every year, I mean, this is now the third year I've done it, every year I'm like, there's no way they're gonna top that. They can't think of anything crazier or more disgusting to throw on us. Oh, they did. They did. They do. And no, it was fantastic. I've said this last year as well, and I feel like we delivered on it. That every year we just keep outdoing it. Like, you just keep raising the bar in
yeah.
terms of the, you know, what Evil Dead is, in terms of the comedy and the horror and the grossness and the over the top and the drama. And this year, I'm just so excited for fans to see it. I think we do it again somehow. Those people did it again.
I know that season 2, and I agree with you, season 2 top season 1, and season 1 was spectacular. And and when you know, because I text you after I watch them.
You text me other times too.
Well, I know.
Don't get jealous, Dan. Don't get jealous. I can feel him.
But you guys really, I mean, you know, season 2 was just amazing. I want to get to the Ash versus Evil Dead, all that cool stuff. But for people who might not know, you did spend you're from Ohio, but you spent a significant amount of time here in Chicago.
What I like to call my second formative years.
Right.
I went to DePaul University. Blue Demons. Hey, is Esmeralda there? Remember how Esmeralda and I know each other?
Yeah, she's here, but she's working right now. She's
Is that code for you fired her, or did you fire my friend Esmeralda?
No.
Dan fired her? Okay.
No, I did not. Esmeralda is your good friend. But you went to DePaul with Esmeralda.
I went to DePaul,
yeah.
Yes. And and spent a decade there. So I feel like, you know, Chicago, it was the town that I grew up in a way, because, you know, you go from 18 to 21. I mean, it didn't matter because, you know, I was getting into like the bars at like 18 anyway. But, you know, the Chicago is just the perfect place to go to college. It's the perfect city to be around. And to this day, I in all my travels, which in fairness, I haven't been too many places, but Chicago really is the most magnificent city. And people that I've met from all over the world, who have been to Chicago, all over the world, say that it's one of the best cities they've ever been, if not the best. So, yeah, Chicago is my hometown in that way. And that's why I'm just so happy to be here and be on WGN and be talking to you. And I'm actually at my friend's house right now with some people who are Chicagoans. And I was just talking about the most devastating news I've ever heard.
Which?
Like, not ever, but recently.
Which is?
Potbelly's is no longer at Midway Airport. What the actual F? No, like, legitimately, that's the only reason, like, you fly around. That has ruined my family's life. Like, my dad goes there for business. My mom is like, they like to go back. Because, you know, Nick, Italians, you know that, like, the food is the thing. Like, that's our religion.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I've had multiple conversations with my parents about, I can't believe Potbelly's is closed. My dad was like devastated. It was like a death in the family. And I have told other Chicagoans, there's a lot of Chicagoans here in Los Angeles, which is the redeeming factor of Los Angeles, of course. And so many people I've told are like, they're actually devastated.
Yeah.
So Potbelly's needs to come out here to Los Angeles if it's not going to be, you know, hanging at Midway.
So, Dana, another advantage of you spending some time with me in my apartment is there's a Potbelly's 600 feet from my front door.
Oh, you tease. Oh, that means we can have breakfast sandwiches in bed, and we can have lunch.
Right.
And dinner. And you best be getting me an oatmeal chocolate chip cookie every time.
Every time. It's, by the way, it's how
you have the stamina for that,
Nick. I don't know if I've got the stamina. But there's Dana. The other thing is, it's housed in the same building as a Lou Malnati's. And I'm not kidding.
Okay, now hold on. I need to lie down. I'm about to do downward dog.
I'm not kidding. Right across the street. Right across the street. Right across the street from my apartment, Dana. I'm not kidding.
I'm gonna test you, and I am going to prove you wrong by coming and staying with you just to make sure you're not lying.
Exactly.
So, oh my God, Lou Malnati's is the best.
It's the best. Yeah, it is. So all right. So you spent a bunch of years here in Chicago. You did radio. You did improv and all kinds of cool stuff, and then you ended up going out to L.A. And as we spoke in the first interview that we did, the live interview we did, we spoke extensively about our love and the fact that you worked on Craig Ferguson's show.
Yes. I'm still sorry. My brain is still on the Luminati's pizza. And I'm like, why didn't they throw pizza sauce on us? Sorry. Yes. Craig Ferguson and Josh Robert Thompson, and who's played Jeff the Robot. That was just, again, like such an insane experience where I just didn't know what to expect. I would show up that day. I mean, I was never even supposed to be on the show. I was just supposed to be, I like showed up for the audition that I found out the night before. And I get told, oh yeah, you're going to go improvise with Craig Ferguson. All of a sudden they give me an airplane remote control. And they're like, yeah, you're going to control the rhino on the wall. And then this guy comes up to me, you know, like one of you know, the guy, like the crew guy with the long hair and the handlebar mustache, who just has nothing left, be like, no F's left to give. So to speak. And he comes up, he's like, this is up, this is down, this opens the mouth, this opens the eyes, go. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? And I found out that it actually can control an airplane. And from that minute on, like, I booked the audition, and he hired me on the spot, which is crazy. And then I quit the bar that I worked at, which I had done multiple times for other shows. And they were like, yeah, we'll see you back here in about 2 months, which was about right. But that was such a magnificent experience. And to this day, like, Josh Robert Thompson is one of my very dear friends, the master of all voices. The fact that he does Morgan Freeman better than Morgan Freeman is mind-blowing to me. Yeah. And, you know, a little girl from Cleveland. But I'm so glad that you love that show as well.
Yeah.
just spectacular.
I worshipped that show. I really did. And Josh has been on the show a few times, and I'm friends with him, and I watch him on his Periscope and all that.
Okay, well, he'll love that. Who do you like better, him or me?
Well, you, obviously. That goes without saying. I mean, that's come on. But I don't know if you're aware of this.
Okay,
I don't know if I don't know if you're aware of this, Dana. But somebody has edited every Beth moment of obviously you must be aware of it.
I'm laughing because I love sentences that start with I don't know if you're aware of this, because literally every like muscle and bone in my body just tenses up like what's going to be next, and then I continue. So if someone has edited what?
All of your Beth moments as Beth from the Late Late Show in as one supercut.
I'm pretty sure it's my only moments, but it's
every moment from every show. So it's like anytime you danced coming back from a break, anytime he told a real joke and you had to come out and dance with him, anytime he looked at you and pointed at you and Michael,
and I danced.
Yeah,
and danced.
It's two super cuts of just every time you were on the
fantastic.
Show.
Yeah, I love that. It started as like a sketch where I was a CBS executive, and then he's like, you're going to, stand here and do the rest of the show and just go with it. And one day we were talking about fruit and how it was, phallic looking. And the next day I'm then talking about something again, very sexual with Joe McHale and Craig Ferguson. It was one of those shows where you just never knew what to expect. And there was a dancing horse. And I mean, it's just how much fun.
It was the best. It was the best. Dana, hang on. Okay. We got to take a break.
You got it.
All right, hold on a second. Dana DiLorenzo, she's the best, my future ex-wife. You can see her on Ashes vs. Evil Dead. Season 2 just came out on DVD. We'll talk about that. And she just got back from New Zealand where she shot Season 3. And we got much more to talk about. She also just finished doing a short film, and she wrote a thing for Women in Horror Month on Horror Geek Life. And I want to talk a little bit about that as well. We got to take a break here for the news, though, and we'll come back with more with Dana DiLorenzo right after this on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Yeah, that of course is music from the great Ash versus Evil Dead, and the one of the stars of the show, a good friend of the show, is the great Dana DiLorenzo. You can follow her on Twitter at I'm Dana DiLorenzo. And Evil Dead, Ash versus Evil Dead, Season 2 is available on DVD now. It just came out, and Season 3 will be showing on Stars in a couple of months. Phone number 312-981-7200 for Talking Tax 2 for Tuesday, too, so get your requests in, and let's get back to Dana DiLorenzo. Hey, Dana.
Hi, Nick D.
Hey. So let's talk a little bit about, well, first of all, did you got the picture that I texted you of the Funko Pop?
I sure did.
The Funko Pop figure.
I thought you meant the other picture.
Oh, no, not that one. Leave that one off the air, Dana. That is,
I was going to say, you could stop saying I'm going to be your future ex-wife. Like, I can just be your wife.
Okay.
Like, it's really, don't set yourself up for failure.
Okay.
Come on now.
All right.
That picture was that. Yeah. When you got the, the little Kelly Funko Pop, I was so honored, that you got that. Do you remember what I said in there, what the best part about that doll is?
You'll tell everybody.
That she has no mouth, so she can't talk incessantly and go overtime, so that the sponsors and all the companies that you have to go to commercial for are like, fining you.
Yeah.
Because like, God, does that girl ever stop running her mouth? No, I don't. But Kelly can't talk. Best feature.
It's the best.
Kelly doll can't talk.
It's on my coffee table right now as we speak at home.
Oh.
Yeah. So Season 2, as we said before, topped Season 1. As if I didn't think it could. And, bringing back some really lovely and wonderful characters. Henrietta comes back. And, you brought back Ellen. She came back. All of this great stuff that you guys... And the thing that I know that's so important to you and everybody involved is that you wanna honor the franchise and keep the fans happy and know that you appreciate that. And by doing the things that you guys did last season, you absolutely did that. No question about it.
That is really the best thing to hear, as both a fan of the franchise and someone now carrying the torch with the show. And that is, it's really, I've said this to you before, it's a love letter to the fans. But at the same time, it's not exclusive to just the fans of the franchise. I think that what the show does really well is it has those little beautiful Easter egg moments of Henrietta, of Cheryl, you know, Ash's sister, of going back to the cabin and having it be an exact replica of from the movies. But it also has brought in a new audience who can watch along and experience it for the first time, even if they don't know the callbacks and the Easter eggs.
Yeah.
And I think that's really special. I think that, you know, this show doesn't get enough credit for the way that it toes the line, both with doing a horror comedy and basically, you know, action and drama as well. I mean, it's all those things, but also the fact that it is such a cult following. It has such a huge fan base, you know, from what, 30 years ago now is when, you know, 79 or eight, was when it came out, right?
Yeah.
The very first one. And the fact that it has carried that on, and can still, you know, I'm what I love is when I get to meet fans, especially, like, I found that for men, it's like a rite of passage.
Yeah.
You have to watch it in high school. I know when I was in high school, that's how I saw Army of Darkness for the first time. I think I told you this because all my guy friends were constantly just like, oh yeah, because you want to kill me now, you want to kiss me, blow. And I'm like, what's that from? They're like, don't worry about it. That's a really good impression of a 17-year-old boy, by the way.
That's good, yeah.
Nailed it. Josh Robert Thompson would be proud. So I thought what I really love is getting to meet the huge demographic of fans where, like, I'll get, you know, a guy come up with his son, his, like, you know, 10-year-old son, and he said, you know, I got to watch this with my dad, and now I'm watching, I've showed him the movies, but now we watch the show together. And he's like, and it's become a family affair. And then he shows, like, his mother, and it's like the kid's grandma. She's like, oh, I just love that Bruce Campbell. You know, it's like a show about a guy with a chainsaw arm, you know, and getting, killing deadites and getting blood thrown everywhere has become such a family affair. I love that.
Yeah.
I do. I really do.
Yeah. And, you know, and adding Lee Majors to the mix as Ash's father in season two was genius. You know.
I mean, he is still, can I just tell you, I don't know if this sounds creepy. I'm like the creepy one right now. But not you, Dan. You can take a break. It's just going to be me right now. But like he is still so sexy. Like he has still got it. Mm-hmm. Like he walked on set, and it's the same way, but also a different way. I can't really explain it. Not different, better or worse. Like Bruce walks on set, and everyone just rises. Like you can just feel it.
Yeah.
Not like we're all seated, and then he rises. Not like a judge scenario, like a courthouse.
Right,
You can feel him. Same with Lucy. Like you feel them before they walk in the room. I can't really explain it. You just have to experience it. Anyone who's gone to Comic-Con, you know what I'm talking about. Or any of the events where they're at. But like with Lee Majors, it's like it's like a tidal wave. You feel it like when he's walking from his trailer, you know? And that guy, man, I mean, I took so many notes from him just on how to be a professional. I mean, that guy's been working for what, 50 years?
Yeah.
60 years?
Yeah.
And is one of the biggest celebrities of all time. And he never asked for anything, never complained, never left set, was always on time, was always prepared, had zero ego. I mean, that, I cannot say enough about that man at all. And I loved him and Bruce together.
Yeah.
They loved it.
So much fun to watch those guys work together. It really was. And it's a great season. There's a bunch of extras on the DVD as well, a bunch of featurettes, and there's audio commentaries and all kinds of really cool stuff. So if you've not seen Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 2, you can, and it comes in a great package. It just came out on DVD. Is there a date for Season 3 to debut on Starz, Dana?
The date that I have is either sometime this year or sometime next year.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That is exclusive. You guys are hearing it here.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
I'm going to just repeat it in case I don't. I'm sure people are like losing control of their cars right now. Okay, wait, everyone, listen up. Turn up the volume a little bit,
yeah.
And I'll speak a little softer. Sometime this year, or sometime next year.
Oh wow!
I mean, that is the exclusive just for you, Nick.
That man, that's a scoop. That's what we call a scoop right there.
I did just, honey. I'll show you what a scoop is.
Hello.
I don't. I was ice cream and pot bellies, dude.
Yeah.
Get your mind out of your dirty pictures.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anyway, you guys film in New Zealand. That's got to be great. I saw some of the stuff that you posted, some of the pictures and videos that you posted, the beautiful stuff that the places that you visited in New Zealand. It's breathtaking. Just looking at it on my phone, you know.
Right, and you know, I have to say that anyone who's been there, my mother will attest to, was I'd send her all these pictures. She's like, "Oh, that's nice." You know, she grew up in Ohio, like landlocked. And then I flew her out this past season, and she just wept. I'm serious. Like, she actually wept, and she's like, you know, the photos can't even capture it. I mean, it goes beyond The Hobbit. It goes beyond everything, like, you can even picture in your mind. I am the poster child for New Zealand. I cannot say enough about it. Everybody needs to go. It is not a bad trip. It is actually very affordable. Air New Zealand is like, you could be in the back of the plane and it's like first class. It's amazing. Please put it on your top of your list to go to New Zealand. And just know that their seasons are opposite of ours. So like right now it's their winter. But go. Yes. Queenstown, I think, is what you might have seen, which I finally got to, which is, yeah, it's just breathtaking. And we got to shoot in Auckland. And anytime you see us in the woods, we're in the actual woods of New Zealand, which add this other layer of their own sort of mystique and creepiness and beautiful. I don't know, just that kind of thing that you want from the woods in a horror show.
I just find it really amazing and ironic and lovely that you guys are in one of the, you guys film in one of the most beautiful places on the planet, and the show takes place outside of Detroit.
I mean, who wins there? Me.
Yeah.
I win. Thanks, New Zealand. Thanks, Rob Tappert and Lucy Lawless. Thanks, Lucy Lawless, for being a Kiwi and the reason Rob Tappert is there. Yeah, it takes place in Detroit. We shoot it in friggin' New Zealand. I win at life.
I just think that's fantastic. I really do. It's like, it's like we have to recreate New Zealand so it looks like Michigan. That's
what... Oh, that... I know. God, that's really funny, Nick. That's so funny.
All right, Dana, hang on, okay?
You got it.
Hold on a second. Dana DiLorenzo, she's the best. You can see her in Ash vs. Evil Dead. Season 2 is now available on DVD. Great package, featurettes, audio commentary, all kinds of cool stuff. Season 3 is going to be debuting on Starz either this year or next year. That's what we've pinned down. So more with the great Dana DiLorenzo coming up. I want to talk about the short film that she made and the piece that she wrote about the strong. It takes a village to raise a strong female character for horror, and we'll talk about that coming up right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And, it's Tuesday. Two for Tuesday gets requested now, 312-981-7200. My guest right now, oh, I love her so much, Dana DiLorenzo, who we met just a year ago. First time I interviewed her a year ago right here in the studio that I'm sitting in right now. It was one of the funnest interviews I've ever had, ever. And we've been in contact with each other, been on the show a couple more times, and she's really the best. She is one of the stars of Ash vs. Evil Dead, which is a great, great show. And if you're an Evil Dead fan, you know that, and you know that it is true to the spirit of Evil Dead and also adds so much to it. And season 3 will be on at some point in the world. We welcome Dana back. Hey, Dana.
Hi, future husband.
Hi, future wife. hey, let's talk a little bit about this Horror Geek Life piece that you wrote a few months ago. I read it, and, you know, the thing about reading this piece, Dana, that you wrote, is that, I know you, and, you know, we've spoken many times, and there's a real excitement every time you talk. And again, you know, as you said before, the pop figure that I have does not have a mouth.
Okay, that sounds like a tongue-in-cheek compliment, but continue.
I'm going to continue.
Are we fighting? And are we fighting?
No, we're not fighting. We're having our first fight. We just got...
Oh, God. It hurts so good. It hurts so good.
But this piece that you wrote is so in your voice. Like, when I was reading it, I totally heard... I heard you talking and how excited you would be and how fast you would be talking. And I really thought it was really fun. And so you got asked to write this piece about strong female characters in horror, right?
I did, and thank you that you said that, and I'm sorry. Thank you, and I'm sorry. because it was, I mean, the whole joke is, I mean, as you saw on there, I'm like, oh, wow, I have a hard enough time talking in a short amount of time and cutting myself off, let alone when I have empty white space, and I'm going to break the internet with words.
Right.
Meaning just I'm just going to break it with the amount of words I write. And, right. and that, yes. So I apologize. But yes, I did get asked to do that. And it was such an honor to, I know people say that like so flippantly, but I really mean that because I actually wrote for a site in Chicago, God, way back in the day called Tame the Bear, right during the market crash.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not really a writer. I mean, I'm not a writer, but I've always loved it. I've always had a penchant for it. I started writing before I did anything else when I was a kid. So it really, I do mean that it was an honor. And, you know, they really wanted me to talk about what it was like, you know, being a strong female character. And I hear that so much with this show. And I guess I was torn because, like, yes, I obviously want to talk about that. But also, you know, I just wanted to get past the fact of, like, do we have to keep saying strong female character? Like, can we just get to the day when it's just a strong character that just happens to be a female?
Yeah.
Like, and that was a really big point for me because it's like, let's just have a character that is interesting to watch, that is flawed and funny and all the whatever the genre is. And, like, we don't have to make it about that it's female, like, because there's just, you know, such a plethora of them available. Hopefully we'll get to that point. But, the piece was called It Takes a Village to Raise a strong female character.
Right.
And it was just really because I meant it. Because my character, I love Kelly so much, and I'm so enamored with the show. And I really, though, have to give credit to the people that helped me create who she is every day, but especially from the beginning. Like our amazing wardrobe designer, she's a genius, Barbara Dara. She's done everything from Spartacus to Xena. I mean, she's done it all.
Yeah.
With Rob Tappert. And truly, I mean, I said this in the article, I didn't feel like Kelly. I let me say that again. I really felt I became Kelly the minute I met her in New Zealand. And I put on the clothes like we had been collaborating. She took my ideas and ran with it. I mean, I said, oh, yeah, you know, I love this. I love this. I love purple. She then all of a sudden turned that into handmade purple leather jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, they make like 50 of them. You know, and it's just like then you become like Kelly. I'm like Kelly. I kind of see her as like cutting her own shirt. She's like, you know, this craftsman who just she's quick on her feet so she can make all these things. And like. She has done that. And then, you know, from the special effects and the makeup artists like Claire and Tamara, and especially the art department, like I told that story about Anna, who told me exactly how much blood I was getting on me in that very first scene of season 2
in the
bar.
Yeah.
It was, by the way, spoiler alert, 26 gallons just on me.
That's great.
Well, and actually it was even funnier because I'm, you know, it's New Zealand. So they like metric system and I'm like, hey, those are like a lot of gallons of white. There's like white, big, huge gallons full of blood. So that's a lot of blood for our scene today. Assuming because I knew Ray had to get bloody and Bruce, and she's like, "Oh no, that's just for you." I said, "How much is that?" And she said, "I think I told you this before." She's like, "It's 85 liters." Well, I don't know about you, Nick,
yeah.
But I had to like Google what that was. 26 gallons. But like, these are the people that like you will never know their names. And there, you understand, like, when you see that bar scene, okay, picture that in your head. I'm ripping the barman's arms off, you know, with Ash's chainsawing the mother and the daughter trio.
Right.
You know, and Pablo is there fighting the other one. And I'm axing at the end. There's just blood all over that set. The cameramen are in plastic.
Right.
They are literally about to suffocate. Someone has to clean that up, Nick.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that, and that is, but, like, these are the people that make the show what it is. And they're not like janitors that come. They're the people that made the blood. Like it was Anna who both made the blood, all 85 liters / 26 gallons, and
yeah.
Then cleaned it up. Like, you know. So I just really felt it was important to just give props to these
yeah.
people because it's not just the actors. It is the writers. It is everyone on the crew that makes it what it is. Like the prosthetic hand that I broke. You know, when I was playing that insane patient.
Yeah.
That alone, like that finger breaking scene, that is a huge scene, and it took about. Three, four weeks of work just to go into making that arm. You know?
Yeah, and I got to tell you, and I'm so glad that you shine the spotlight on these creative people that work on the show because again, they don't get the acknowledgement that they deserve. But I want to mention you mentioned that that episode in the asylum. That was my favorite episode of last season. It absolutely was my favorite, and I thought you were tremendous in that episode.
Oh, thank you.
Really great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was great to have such a departure from that, from what you're used to, and just go a little cuckoo's nest with that.
Yeah. Hey, all right, so I want to talk about the short film that you made called Three Women. You know, you worked with one of my favorite actresses in there, Sarah Paxton.
Oh, how great is Sarah?
She's tremendous.
All of them are. Abigail and Anna and, I mean, everybody on that show, you're like, oh, I know that. They're in everything right now.
Yeah.
But Sarah Paxton was just, I mean, just a delight.
Yeah,
she's just a delight.
She's great. You know, she's been in a couple of really great horror movies, and I particularly loved her in The Innkeepers. I thought she was so great in that.
Yes.
She was in a movie called Cheap Thrills, which, have you seen that, Dana?
I don't think I've seen that. Oh. I know I've heard of it. I have not seen it. Do I need to see it?
Oh, you must see it. Cheap Thrills, it's with Pat Healy, David Koechner, and Sarah Paxton.
I'm sold.
And Ethan Embry. Ethan Embry's in it, too. It's tremendous. You got to see it. So tell everybody about Three Women. It's a short film. You just finished it. And can people see it? Is it going to make a festival run or anything?
I think it has been making the festival runs. You can check out info at threewomenfilm.com. I know that the trailer's definitely there, and I think they are technically trying to turn it into a feature.
Oh, I see.
But for right now, it is, as it stands, a short film written and directed and starring Alex Bay and Anna Camp and PJ Byrne and Abigail Spencer and, as you said, Sarah Paxton. And I don't want to give too much away, but it's about that there's always three women in a man's life and the roles that they play and the roles that the man plays in each particular woman's life. Hmm. It's like Woody Allen meets, what would I call it? What would be a good comparison? I'll just say Woody Allen meets the mindset of Ash Williams, actually. That's a great. And I'm going to send that to Alex right now. It's like, hey,
yeah,
it's the mindset of the character on Evil Dead, Ash Williams, mixed with Woody Allen.
There you go. All right. So that's Three Women. You can check it out. The last time we spoke, Dana, on the radio, you did say that you attacked a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle one time because you loved them so much. You actually.
Did I tell you that? Oh, my God.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did tell me that. And so you just did a voice for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So was that a dream? And by the way, the character that you played is named Esmeralda, which I also find pretty. Was it a dream come true to be on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Are you kidding me? I was so annoying because I was like, hey, can you guys sign this? Hey, it's Nickelodeon. Like, because I got to film at Nickelodeon Studios, and I don't know, you know, what demo is listening to this, but like, I'm just going to, for those of you who know what I'm talking about, I'm just going to say, I think it was it TGIF or was it Saturday? Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yes.
I grew up on, which is why now I'm on a horror show, dream come true.
Yeah.
Alex Mack, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, obviously all that, Good Burger, all that stuff. That is my jam. So getting to be in Nickelodeon and then getting to go to the Turtles, I mean, like getting to be here like, cowabunga. I mean, I was getting hot flashes as my 10-year-old self who rushed the stage to touch. Should we remind people that I rushed a turtle at, guys, wait for it, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in concert.
Yeah.
And it was either Cleveland or Pittsburgh. It was one of those two. So that's where Youngstown is supposed to. And what was really cool was, beyond a dream come true, is they drew the character in my likeness. Like, I recorded it before they drew it. And the producer said, he's like, oh, yeah, we kind of, like, match her to look like you. And I speak with this accent, and I think it's actually coming out in the next, like, week or so. It's the Crypt of Dracula, I believe is what it's called.
Okay.
On Nickelodeon. So you'll have to check it out. But, yes, that's a shout-out to Esmeralda, for sure.
That's excellent. Well, that's excellent. Listen, you know, we're out of time, Dana, and it always goes by.
Oh, shocker. Did I take one breath or swallow one, sir?
You sounded great, as always. It's so much fun to talk to you, Dana. We gotta, you know, you gotta be on, you know, more often than not, if that's possible.
Okay, well, then I'll just have to marry you
Okay.
sooner than later.
All right.
And then we'll just have our pot bellies morning, noon, and night. We'll walk to Lou Malnati's.
Correct.
And then we can go to work together, and just you can just record me all day long. How exciting would that be?
That would be fantastic. Be fantastic.
Voice in your ear all day long, Nick, all night long, that never shuts up. What are your hopes? What are your dreams? Do you like this bed? What kind of sheets do you want? What do you like to change me into the turtles? Hey, do you like Dan more than me?
Oh, Dana.
So sexy. That's what you
I can answer that.
You
no.
Husband. Where did you come from?
He's got a mic, you know? He's got a mic.
I thought you were a mute. I'm so excited. Hi, Dan. We'll talk. This will be part two, guys. We're going to record this, and we'll play it at a later date. I don't know because it's not my show, but I just put that out.
All right. Dana, I love you. You know that, so...
I love you most. I love you too, Dan. Thank you so much for putting up with me. And you're wonderful, and I can't wait to come see you in all seriousness in Chicago in the next couple months.
Okay. Dani, you're the best, okay? Take care.
You. All right, baby.
Talk to you soon. There you go. Dani DiLorenzo. God, I love her. She's so great. Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 2 just came out on DVD. Great package with a bunch of extras and featurettes and audio commentary. And Dana rules in it. And it's great. If you're an Evil Dead fan and you haven't seen Season 1 or Season 2, catch up. It's great. So the great Dana DiLorenzo, one of my favorite guests of all time. All right, we got to take a break here. We got the news coming up next on 720 WGN.